Okay, Shavua Tov. We're in Parak Vav in Hilchos Tefillah, and we're going to go over some scattered different various halachas, which may have some familiarity. Some might be surprising. And we'll see as we go along. The Rambam says in Halacha Aleph, he says, Asur lo la'adam la'avor achorei beis hakneses b'shas hatzibur mispalin, ela imkin haya nosem masli. So, you can't pass in front of a shul. Okay, let's say past the doorway, when they're davening, right? Unless you are, like, let's say, carrying, like, a briefcase or a package, okay? And that's because of Maris Ayin, because the image that it'll present is that the person is foregoing tefillah. So it has to be clear, and when you walk by, that you're not avoiding, so to speak, davening. So to prevent, remember, there's nothing wrong with walking. The way Maris Ayin works is there's nothing wrong with walking past the door of a shul as an action. Halacha doesn't register as a halachic action. But since people will come to a certain conclusion, actually it's more chashad, but they'll come to a conclusion that this person doesn't daven, to prevent that, you have to show, it has to be nicker, that's not the case. Or let's say there's two entrances into the shul, which gets us out of the problem for the most case, for the most part, as long as there's two separate entrances, then a person would say, oh, he's going to the other entrance. So that makes it even better. If you live in a town where there's multiple shuls, so this prohibition of Maris Ayin would never apply, because the person will say maybe he's going to the shul he normally davens at. Now, of course, you may show tefillin barosho, okay, mutal olavor, okay, and if he's wearing his tefillin, okay, then of course it's mutta for him. Hold on, Ron, it's mutta for him to pass by. It's interesting. It's not that he's wearing tefillin because he's going to daven. It's, remember, the halacha is you're supposed to wear tefillin all day. It's not a din in tefillah. We'll get to that later. But it's a din in malbush, that you should wear tefillin all day long. So if we know, if this person's wearing tefillin, so then a person's going to say, well, we know this is a stark guy, and therefore we would never assume that such a person would ever get out of his chiyuv tefillah. Now, halacha beis is a great one, okay? Hamispalel imatzibor. I mean, this is something I've gingerly asked before, and I get daggers. It's a very interesting question. Hamispalel imatzibor, and this comes from the Gemara. Lo yarech es tefiloso yoser midai. So if you're davening with a tzibor, now, the case the Rambam is really talking about is, let's say, it's like a small group. Now, you have to remember, halachically speaking, you really need 10 people answering amen, or let's say it's a minyan, 9 answering amen to the brachos of the shliach tzibor. So that's why it's very important when Shmona Esrei is completed. Some people rely on 6. In truth, the real halacha is you're supposed to make sure that everybody, ideally everybody, but at the very least 9 people who are able to answer amen to the bracha of the shliach tzibor. Okay, so if you're davening in a small minyan, it's like 12, 13 people. Okay. You should not daven, you should not lengthen your davening. Right? You shouldn't daven a long Shmon Esrei. Because what's going to happen? If you do that, it's going to be a tircha de tzibur. It's going to prevent the tzibur from, they're going to have to wait for you to finish your tefillah. Okay? That's why it's a very interesting question. And this comes from the story of Rabbi Akiva in the Gemara. The question that comes up is that the inyan of waiting for the rav of a shul to finish his tefillah, okay? Quite often, people think that's an expression of kavod. The problem, though, is that you run into a serious problem with tircha de tzibura. So the rav of the shul has two options in front of him, outside of just telling them not to wait. One option is to not make sure he doesn't daven a Shmon Esrei longer than everyone else. See, by kriya shma, the reason why it's important to wait for, let's say, the rav of the tzibur, what he's supposed to be doing by his kriya shma is getting the rest of the tzibur on pace. Meaning, if he says the longest kriya shma, so now everyone should really daven Shmon Esrei together at the same time. That's also an important halacha, that tzibur starts together. When it comes to his own Shmon Esrei, he shouldn't lengthen it. He shouldn't make the tzibur wait as a result. Once it's a tzibur that's able to answer amen, they should start saying Shmon Esrei. They shouldn't have to wait for the rav. So either he could tell the people, don't wait for me, or he could make his Shmon Esrei shorter. And that's, again, it comes from Rabbi Akiva, who would say a quicker Shmon Esrei when he's davening but tzibur. So it is an interesting halacha that today, there's this inyan of waiting for the rav of the shul to finish his davening. But in truth, once you have a minyan of people who can answer amen, it's unclear why this, again, I'm putting this in major quotes, kavod a rav, which is questionable what the origin of that is, why would that trump Tirchot and Tzibura? Unclear. So he says, if you're davening at Tzibur, you shouldn't daven too long. You shouldn't make it so that Tzibur would have to wait for you to start to davening. Avabeno lebein atzma, or just biyadav. If you're alone, you could daven the longest one esrei you want. Vimba lomar achar tfiloso, afilu kaseder vidu yom kippurim omer. And if you want to add things after your shmon esrei, okay, like vidui, right, or things of that nature, go right ahead. And that's the third halacha, which is the one we're going to focus on, which is that a person has a right, if he wants to add in the brachas of Shemon Esrei, in the Bakasha section, specific requests relating to thematically that bracha. Okay, and of course the most famous one is going to be is refuah. So in halacha gimel he says, Ketzad, hayalachola. So if someone's sick, mivakish alav racham and berachas cholam, kvitzchos lashono. Keep that in mind, okay? Not recite a Mishnah Berach. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But not recite a Mishnah Berach, right? Not recite Tehillim, right? Not any of those things. What do you do if someone's sick, right? Truthfully, what you should do is, before davening starts, an announcement should be made. You know, Ploni Ben Ploni is ill, right? Please insert his name into your Shemona Esrei. Okay? That is the way you're supposed to be mispal for someone who's a chola. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Mishnah Berachs or Tehillim. I'm just saying it's clear halachically. The way Shemona Esrei was set up is that if there's someone sick, this is what you do. You add them into your Shemona Esrei. That's the way it's supposed to be done. Okay? Hayat Sarach LaParnasa, Mosif Tachina Bakasha, Berachas Hashanim. Same thing with if a person needs money, what do? You add it into Berachas Hashanim, where the theme is about Parnasa. Val Derach Ze, Bechol Achas Mehen, and similarly to any other bracha. Vim Ratza Lishol Kol Tzarcha, B'Shamea Tefila Shoah. And then comes Shemea Tefila. That's the other catch-all, meaning Shemea Tefillah, if you looked at it as a bakasha, is the strangest of all the bakashas, because you're not asking for like a physical need, you're asking for, or any type of need, you're asking for God to listen to your tefillah. It's like, I just said all these brachos, all these bakashas, and now you have to have one more tefillah where you ask God to listen to everything you just asked for. Due to its, for lack of a better term, its generic nature, it became like the catch-all for a person asking any other specific needs they might have. So let's say a person either didn't have a chance to bivakish for the chol and refa'inu, or has some need that somehow doesn't fit into any of the brachos, Shemea Tefillah is the net. Ava lo yisholo, lo b'shal shoshonos, lo b'shal shochornos. And as we know, he can't ask for anything in both the berachos HaShevach and berachos Hodah. Okay? So that's an important halacha to know. Really, a person should go ahead and do his best to insert, like let's say for a chola, to put that in Tefillah in Shemona Esrei. That's where it belongs. Okay. Now, another one. Halacha Dalet. Another very important one. Asur lo la'adam. And by the way, according to many, this is Doraisa. Asur lo la'adam sh'yitom klum o sh'yasem malacha ma'achash yala amud ha'shachar achi spal tefillah shachars. It's clear. It is forbidden for a person to eat, to taste anything. Okay, anything. Right? Or engage in malacha after alos, okay, until he daven shachars. Okay? So now, again, today, right, you see that halacha has been, I'm not sure what term to use, but it's certainly not very, people aren't very careful about that today. So first came water, okay, even though the Rambam puts it, asol adam shiyitom klum, shouldn't taste anything. But there are those, many who came out and said water is permitted, okay. Now water mutated into coffee, okay, or tea, because technically speaking, you can make an argument that coffee is really flavored water, okay? That mutated into other types of drinks, let's say diet soda, and that mutated into coffee with, let's say, sugar and milk, which some contemporary posts can bring down because they say once coffee is something we'll tolerate, well, this is the way coffee is normally drank, so why not add those things in there? But it is clear, even if you want to rely on that, overall, having breakfast, coffee, all these things, really a person, I mean, certainly breakfast, but a person should not do this before he daven shacharis. It's clear. I mean, it's not even a shaila. A person is not allowed to eat or drink before they daven. I mean, it's a crystal clear halacha. We shouldn't spend all our time trying to work out various instances where it could be... No, that's crazy. Don't eat or drink before you daven. And I know, I had this argument with many people. What about kavana? Because a famous counter-argument is, isn't kavana the most important thing, right? So yes, you're right. If you told me that a person... It's a good question. If a person told me there's no way they could concentrate, right, without, let's say, having a cup of coffee... Well, I'd say, first of all, they should analyze their addiction a little bit. And I don't know if that's a reasonable excuse. I mean, a person needs to learn how to train themselves to be in this position. Don't eat or drink before you daven. It's as simple as that. Okay, v'chein lo yashkin, and also by malacha too, meaning a person shouldn't start work. It's a problem. You know, you get into tricky situations where, let's say, like a doctor on a shift in a hospital, without using the massive pikuach nefesh hetar that's used all the time, you know, a person has to be careful about these things. V'chein lo yashkin the pesach havera l'shol b'shlomo konum sheisbalz v'lo shachris. And also, a person should not a person should not. I was waiting for that question. A person should not. A person should not go to someone's house to say hi before he davened shacharis. Okay, let's say derech konum shispal. He shouldn't go to work. He shouldn't travel before he's davened. Aval ton ba'osem malacha konum shispal musaf kodem mincha. But you are allowed to drink or do malacha right before you daven musaf from mincha. Aval inu soed samach lemincha. Okay, that's what we're gonna get into next. Okay, when it comes to mincha, which we're gonna focus on the most. You are allowed to eat before mincha, okay? So when Zman mincha starts, you can eat, but you can't have a suda. So technically speaking, right, let's say Zman mincha today is at 1:10 or so. So a person should not start, should not have his lunch. Let's say his lunch is, he washes, let's say he can have a sandwich. He should not have a sandwich when Zman mincha begins. Okay, if that's a guy, let's say he's machmir bat mincha katana, I can see some heter there. But in general, a person is not to be, supposed to kovei a suda, okay? And along those lines, in Alacha A, keman shehigia Zman mincha gedola, right? Once mincha gedola starts, right, so what do you call it? Lo yikanes lemerchatz. Right, a person shouldn't go into the shvitz. Afilu lahazia achi spala shemi yisalav yivatam in the tefila. Lo lecha afilu achilas arai shemi yishach beachila. Velo lodon afilu gemar din shemi yisas ardim yishach beatam in the tefila. Vechein lo yeshiv lifnei asefer lispor. Excuse me, hasaper lispor afilu tisporas hedjot achi spala shemi yishav verazug. So and finally lo yikanes lebursaki samachamincha achi spala shemi yira hefse melachto bisasik bevisasik be natefila. What all these have in common? You shouldn't start an activity where the activity itself is one that naturally draws you in. So, for example, okay, a person shouldn't get his hair cut by Tispor Sejot is like, let's say, not a professional barber, but a stam guy. Because what could happen? It could be that in the middle of the haircut, right, the scissors break. Or a person shouldn't eat even achilas arai. Even having an apple could be a problem. Toim is okay, but having an apple, because that could lead a person to want to eat more, okay? Or what do you call it? Or sitting down for in a beis din. Okay, all these things, because naturally, once you get involved, they could lead to a mechanism where a person wouldn't, therefore, he misses mincha. That's why a person should engage in it. However, but if you did start it, lo yasek elo gomer v'achrak v'sal tevos mincha. So the key take-home message is, when the zman mincha starts, a person should really avoid getting themselves drawn into any activity, a lengthy type of activity that requires lots of concentration or something could happen and prevent it from daven mincha, etc. Daven mincha first. But of course, if you did do it, it's okay, so finish it off and then daven mincha afterwards. And then the Rambam continues, L'achava, me'imasai haschal tisporas. So when do these activities begin? So he describes each specific activity when the starting point is. Tisporas, mishaniach, ma'alferas, shosiparan, albirkov, like when you put like the barber apron, but here it's on your knees, but like for us, it would be like the apron on. So when you consider starting in the shvitz, when you start taking, when your clothes are off, when is considered eating time? When is a person really engaged in eating or started? When you wash your hands in Israel. But in Bavo, it's when they loosen up their belts. So when they loosen their belts, that's when they're ready to eat. Okay, so something to keep in mind. Fine. So these are all telling you the markers about when these activities start and to avoid being involved with them. Now, halacha zayin, afal pi shetfilas arbeis rishus. So even though we know marav is rishus, lo yava odom imulachto v'yomer ochal me'at, right? Ochal me'at v'ishan kameya v'achrach espala. So this makes a lot of sense. You come home, long day at work, it's 11 o'clock at night, right? And you're tired. You know, the person says, you know what, listen, I'm going to eat a little bit, maybe I'll take a little nap, and then I'll daven afterwards, okay? The reason why is Shema Tanos Ososhina. What's going to happen? You're going to fall asleep, you're not going to wake up. The Nimsa Yashan call Laila, and then you'll end up sleeping the whole night. Ela Mispal Arbes Varchach Ochel Vishoso Yashan. So the best thing to do is, when you get home, excuse me, daven Mariv, right? And then worry about eating, drinking, or sleeping. Now it's interesting. You can go get a haircut, okay, in the morning before Shacharis. Shehu davar hamatzoi shirov am netnasin sham biyom. Okay, so the reason why they were gozer by mincha is because a lot of people, when they get their haircuts, they got their haircut or went to the shvitz in the afternoon. Okay, but people don't do that in the morning. Al b'shachar davar shein hamatzoi lo gozerbo. So since it's very abnormal to go to get a haircut in the morning, that's why they didn't aser it. But again, it's a different halacha than eating. Eating is not just eating before shacharis is not about you're going to miss zman shacharis. It's a different idea altogether. Okay, halacha ches, very famous halacha, also very very interesting one. Mishahaya osik b'talmud Torah. You're learning, okay? The giyas zman atfila posak mispala. Okay, so that's pretty clear. I'm learning. I stop and I daven. However, v'im haisa torasa umnaso. Okay, v'ino osim halacha klal. V'haya osik b'torah b'shas tfilaso. So let's say there's a person who all he does is learn Torah. That is his primary activity. Meaning he is I'm not going to call a kolal guy, but he's a big talmud chacham who all he does is learn. Okay? Interesting enough, okay, eino posik, he does not stop. Shemitzvah talmud Torah gedola mitzvah tefillah. Because the mitzvah talmud Torah is greater than mitzvah tefillah. Okay? And also, v'chol osik b'tzarchi rabim kosik b'divrei Torah. And someone who's involved in the needs of the many, it's as if he's involved in Divrei Torah. But let's think about that for a second. Imhaisa Taraso Umnaso. It's interesting. I don't know anyone who actually does that. I mean, I know great Talmidei Chachamim who really, learn all the time, right? I never met someone who said, you know what, I missed Shachar today because I was so involved in learning, right? It's an interesting thing. When the Zman Tefillah comes, there's no reason. I mean, the Ram doesn't say, like, Lichatchila B'Dyeved. He says, Posek. That's it. You don't stop. You don't stop learning if you're someone who's Torah Umnaso. Now, I know, of course, people will play the Anivus card and say, well, my Torah is not really my primary thing, etc. But I don't know. It's an interesting thing that it's pretty clear from the halacha that a person does not have to stop if that's the kind of person he is. Okay, halacha tes. Eina mispalo masik tfiloso. Okay, now, you're in Shmon Esrei. This also comes up. You're davening Shmon Esrei. You can never stop davening. Ella, the only situation that you're allowed to stop your davening, so to speak, break your Shmon Esrei, and just stop, completely, is when someone's life is in danger. Even if the king of the Jews asks, says hi to you, remember, Kriya Shema, you can interrupt, not during Shmon Esrei. However, of course, you could stop for a non-Jewish king, because you might get killed, okay? Hayaome bitfila, let's say you're in the middle of Shmon Esrei, v'ra melech ovde kochavim, right? Or anas ba kenegdo, yiksar v'im en yachol yafsik. So let's say you see the non-Jewish king in the distance, okay? So the halacha is that a person can say, he can try to make a Shmon Esrei faster. He can say havinenu, for example. And if not, he can stop his Shmon Esrei completely. If you see snakes and scorpions working their way towards you, right? It's amazing the Rambam has to tell you this, okay? You have to work this out first. In the middle of Shmon Esrei, you see a scorpion coming your way. Before you stop, you have to make sure you know that is this an area where these are poisonous, deadly scorpions? If they are, stop and run away. But if not, if they're not poisonous snakes, then you wouldn't have to stop. You should not stop your Shmon Esrei. I'm not sure how you would assess that. That's a good question, but I think 99% of people, if they saw a scorpion, wouldn't hesitate in running away. Okay, halacha yud. He ends off. Nashim avadim ktanim chayavim mitvila. Women. Avadim and ktanim are chayavim tvila. V'chol ishe patur mikriya shema. Right? Pater min atfila. And anyone who's pater min kriyashma is also pater min atfila. And then, if you remember, we had the cases of people who escort the mace. V'chol ma'avan es ha-mace, afa pi she'ein l'mita tzarech b'hem, pater min atfila. Remember, by kriyashma, right? By kriyashma, the patur isn't as absolute. But by Shmon Esrei, obviously, if I'm involved in any way in taking out the mace, right? Of course, I'm going to be pater min atfila, because there's no way I'm going to be able to have kavana. Go ahead, Ron. Okay. Perek Zion. Okay. Parag Zion is going to take up a whole set of brachos. We don't have to read all the texts of them, but a whole set of brachos that I'm sure everyone here is familiar with, okay? We're going to start with Birchas HaMapil and Kriya Shema you say at night, and then go through Birchas HaShachar. And you'll notice really quickly that it's pretty clear from the Gemara, okay, that Birchas HaShachar were never meant to be said in shul. Now, the Gaonim do bring down that the custom started that they were said in shul, Okay? And the Rambam's going to cite that as well. But as we go through these, you may wonder, like, what does the Rambam mean when he says, when you put a shirt on, you say this bracha? Because people don't do that today. Well, most people don't. It's interesting to see that these brachas are actually attached to actions. So let's get through some of these. Kishetiktu chachamim, divrei tefilos elo. So when they were created the system of tefillah, tiktu brachos acheros. They were misaking other brachos, levarachosan, b'chol yom, elohein. So these are daily brachos, meaning in your daily life, okay, you will be engaged in these types of things, and these types of activities require brachos. So it's important to emphasize that these are like, they're not in tefillah, but they're peripheral to tefillah, okay? They're not part of the system of tefillah itself, okay? But they're birchos shevach v'hodah, they're not birchos mitzvah, so to speak, in that sense, nor are they birchos nenin. They're brachos on, I did an action, and it demands a certain bracha, and you'll see how if it's responsive or not. So the first one's very famous, because shechanas adal mitaso lisha b'layla, when a person goes to sleep at night, he's mevarech berachat Hashem, elkein v'chalam, ha-mapil chevle shkina aleinai. Right, so he says the bracha of Hamapil. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Ends off brachat Hashem, mir lo'om kulo b'chvoda. So the first bracha is Birchas Hamapil, which, by the way, it's interesting. The Rav mentions in Nefesh Rav that Hamapil lost its popularity. It's not quite done as often as people would think. But there's no question you're chayav to make Hamapil before you go to sleep. And what else do you do in Halacha Beis? V'kora Parsha Rishonah B'Kriyat Shema. Okay, and you have to read the first parsha of Kriyat Shema, Shema Da'afta. And you go to sleep, and even if your wife is sleeping next to you, okay? So it doesn't matter. You always, what do you call it? You always say Kriya Shema no matter what at night, even if your wife is sleeping next to you, okay? Vim anasaso shina, right? So let's say he's unable to sleep. Kore afilu pasuk rishon psuki rachmin v'archach rishon. Okay, fine. Now that's Kriya Shema and Hamapil. Okay. Now time to wake up. Halacha Gimel. Now this is important. Bishash yikatz b'sov shnaso. So that at the end of your sleep, okay, when it's time to, when you wake up, mivarech v'hu al mitaso kach, and you make this bracha while you're still in bed. Elokai neshama shenasata bi Torah, etc., etc. Okay, bracha Hashem. Hamachaz neshama sifkar mesim. Well, hold on. What happened to Moda Ani? Right? Don't we learn about Moda Ani in school? Well, the truth is that no, that's not what you're supposed to say. Moda Ani is Elokai Neshama in a much different form. That's not what you're supposed to say. And you don't say Elokai Neshama in tefillah. Elokai Neshama is what you say as soon as you wake up. Because what are you talking about? You're talking about the idea that when you slept, you didn't have control over your mind, you know, 1/70th of your soul, etc., etc. All those ideas are present. And a person, he recognizes that now his soul is returned to him and he's able to go ahead and do what he has to do. Okay? See, that's where it comes from. Modani lefanecha. That modani, right, became the modani that we talk about today and that you teach kids. It's an amazing idea that kids from an early age and all of us were taught to say modani when we wake up. And then what's even crazier is that then it became, when you go to school, at least when I went to school, we would say modani in tefillah, right? What are you talking about? You say Elokai Neshama when you wake up in the morning. That is the tefillah you say when you wake up in the morning. That's what you're supposed to say. Not Moda Ani. Does not appear in the Gemara. So it's a very amazing thing that has become like the normal thing that people say when they wake up in the morning. It's clear from the Gemara. That's not the case. Something to think about. Okay, we'll stop here and we'll pick this up tomorrow. Have a good day.